Pinewood Cruisers.
Now, what's that woman's name?
Doris Lewis.
Kissimmee Island, Pinewood Cruisers.
Yeah.
Pretty fat book.
Yeah.
Pictures and everything.
Yeah, pictures in there. Let's see. There's me when I was a baby. That's my mother. Yeah. That's my father.
Well, I'm the dog.
That's me today. That's my graduating class 60 years ago.
Yeah.
That's my mother. That's three children who were little. I'm the only one living. They're all gone. This is my sister, and that's my brother there.
Yeah. Well, I'll be dog.
And I got a couple more pictures here. One's on a horse. One was two more cowboys, but they, I don't just what page on. I can find them right quick. But see the old cow people.
Right. Well, you know, there are a lot of things that cowmen do in this part of the country they don't do other places.
I tell you, there's no history of a lot of things. This woman has gone out of all. Lots of trouble to put out this book. This is the third issue, and she's working on the fourth one.
Say that's a good one, then. And then, of course, that Joe Ackerman book, and then George Dacey.
Yeah.
Four generations of Florida ranching.
This show was about 40 years old. It's been.
Yeah.
Copyrighted in
1940.
Yeah.
Well, tell me about some of the old practices that are no longer done just to get started.
Well, it's all modernized now. It's modernized. It's not like it used to be at all.
Yeah.
Yes, it used to, you count trout, carry your provision with oxen and wagon, and it's just altogether different.
Now, I know.
Modernized.
Out at the El Maximo Ranch. Now, you were foreman out there for?
I started with the 3rd day of April, 1938. So for the 2nd day of June, 72.
Good Lord.
And I see right there.
Yeah. Well, now, they still have cow camps. They got the 7-mile camp.
Yeah, 7-mile,
And, of course, that gooseneck trailer, I guess, that's had a lot to do with changing people staying out overnight, hasn't it?
Well, they took that trailer and come haul the horses in at night.
Yeah.
But used to, we'd go out and stay till the finish. But I tell you, back in the old days, I worked for Lax Brothers 12 years down in that big Cypress country, Blue Monopoly in that country.
Yeah.
And that was sure enough work back then.
Hmm.
All the transportation had oxen and wagons to start with, and they got one drive trucks.
Yeah.
But we camped out then, sure enough.
What about using dogs?
Well, they're all right in bad places, but out in open country, they're a nuisance.
Why?
Well, the cows all the time are chasing them, so that you can have a cow in the open country, but swampy country where you need the dogs, where they're holding them in a bunch and do something with them.
So you can hold them in a bunch, that's what you want the dogs for.
Yeah, and out in open country, why? I never did use them.
Now, what about the whips?
Well, that was back in the old days. And just called who had them. Back in the old days, they were a bad nuisance. Because you'd pop a whip and a cow would hear you 3 or 4 miles and you wouldn't see them no more. They'd go clean out of the country, hide, run.
Yeah.
And when you worked them, you wanted to work with the wind so they wouldn't smell you. You got up close enough, you could stop them, get around. The wind had a lot. They'd travel all the way to work with into the wind. So the wind would be coming off the cows on us.
Yeah. Now, when did whips start getting more popular then?
Well, they began to, back when I was young, it was popular, but they deteriorated with the improvement of things.
I see.
I don't know if you find a man a whip anywhere now.
No, they still use them.
Yeah.
All those guys at Bill Keene's, they all had whips on their saddles. And there's a boy out there working at the El Maximo, Wayne McQuaig.
Yeah.
You know young Wayne?
I know him, I see him, but I'm not acquainted with him.
He's been making whips. He seems to be a good young fella coming, and he likes the old-time ways of doing things.
Yeah.
Another thing some people have told me about, and I've never seen, is a buzzard trap.
Well, make it look like you trap in the other kind of quiver or anything, or make a big sort of buzzard to go in there, make a funnel out there, and if that funnel to get out there, keep walking around.
All right.
Yeah.
I've heard of them where you cut a hole in the top and they'll get up on there and then hop down in after.
Well, I don't know about that. And there's, I wouldn't, but you make a funnel there and put some good animal in there. And we used to use alligators sometimes, you know, back when they skin alligators. And anything.
Sure.
Yeah. But I tell you, when you sell them, if it lasts a hog, the hogs come down, get rooting around, tear up the trap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did you want to trap the buzzards?
Well, I thought bad about killing the wrong sheep at Max's.
All right.
And they'll kill a wrong calf too if a cow won't follow them. But out there used to a sheep blind in this time, how we ever got by. Well, it's not even far as smell off the daylight come, but
yeah.
But them birds are, they're very destructive on sheep.
So there's sheep out there too then. I didn't know.
They used to have a lot of them. They got about 900 now, I think, but we had it 3,000 there one time when we sold out and built by.
Now what did you do with the sheep? Was it for the wool or for the meat?
Both. Yeah. A good sewer for the lambs over to the beach, the Tarpon Springs.
Yeah.
Very few sheep in this country, and the good soil for lambs in this country, and then we'll share them all well to them.
Who did the sharing?
Well, who by the while, the cowboys, but finally, last soil world, half a mile, he comes here and shares them. He lined up from, he comes here and starts about the 20th of April. And he's lined up all the way back to Iowa, sure, all the way back to the States, the Iowa.
Yeah.
Well, he sure he's little herds around here. And he first goes around here to Port Malacca, that place, and starts. Then he comes back to Max's, right on there.
Yeah. Well, I forgot to ask out there, what is the brand and the mark for the El Maximo?
Well, the mark for you and brand them on there. On the side down here.
On the right hip.
Yeah.
What is the brand?
Hmm?
What is it? I got a...
Yeah, well.
Here you go, draw on this if you want.
They're running up a Square & Trail Corporation brand.
Say what?
That's the corporation's brand.
Okay.
And when I left there, there was 8 grandchildren had cattle beside the corporation. But they bought out one family, so now only Pat's children. I don't know whether they still have the brand or not. I just don't know.
I reckon they do.
I mean, I left there in 1963, and I'm in 72. They formed the corporation in 1963.
Uh-huh.
Well, my son's wife and the 2 girls each had a brand up to Lena.
Yeah.
From the corporation. And then these grandchildren would come along. Pat had 5 children, we all had cattle. Well, when I left there, we were on 35% of the cattle, the grandchildren did.
Yeah.
But I don't know what I knew they bought out the other girl, and she don't have any stock in the ranch anymore. She don't have much interest in the grove, but she don't have any. Pat Wilson's family. And those backs are the only ones on the ranch now.
Yeah, I guess that's Coot. There's one out there now.
Well, he's the oldest one of past children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what would you call that mark?
Upper Square in each ear.
Upper Square in each
ear? Yeah. And Coot's... Oh, here's Mark Burn. The old baby saw a fork on the slope.
Say that again.
L-W, and there you go, and Swallow Fork on the Slope.
Okay, Swallow Fork on the Slope.
And when I went there, we had the one brand, the one mark.
Good God.
A crop bull, well, I don't know. One, on account of income tax purposes, Mr. Maxie acquired the mark and brand, and all the children acquired one, and
now, what did you call that mark?
Crop bold.
Say it again.
Crop bold and bold and wood. What crop bold?
Hey, how you spell that?
B-O-L-T.
Bolt.
Yeah, bold. Yeah, yeah.
Crop bold.
Yeah.
Now, this is the corporations. The first one's the corporations. The second one is
who's right.
And that's
the old. The now one left. They're all gone now.
That's when you started.
Yeah, when I started. Yeah.
Now, when y'all brand and mark, you go out and do it out wherever the cattle are, I reckon.
No, we take it, we come to the pen. We're out of pen them now.
Out at where are the pens? There's one going out to the ranch.
Well, we have one out to the ranch, back then, have one at 7 Mile, one over to Peavine, No matter how white folks run, I chance to be. But they sold out that Fort Brown territory, or the land goes down now. Mm-hmm. And chance to be, they're still on it, but then they got a place in Manatee County. See.
Well, tell me something about yourself.
Well, I was 80 years old, 17th of last September.
I'll be.
Yeah.
Well, I never said it on the tape, but I'm talking to Douglas Thompson.
That's right.
And I'm in Frost Free.
Yeah.
Frost Proof. I'll get it. Frost Free.
Yeah.
And you were the foreman out there for, you told me, a long time out at the El Paso.
Yeah, all the time I was there, yeah. Hey, yeah. Well, it's got like, what about the child people here, around the world? It's by land, man. He's offspring of the very first child people in this country. They were Captain Pierce and
yeah.
There's Tom Daltrey. He's one of the first ones. And there's William Alderman. He's one of the first ones.
Yeah.
There's Captain Johnson Steamboat.
God.
I've been up the river on that boat when I was little.
What are some of the, you know, rodeo's popular now. What are some of the things y'all used to do that were like rodeo events? Did y'all used to ride bulls for?
No, sir.
Y'all
no,
didn't
sir.
Mess with that stuff?
No, sir. We didn't mess with that stuff. No, sir.
Did you ever do roping and stuff, see who could rope the best or
anything? No, not that. Because that's punishing the cattle, and we didn't do that.
Right. Okay. I guess y'all do work with ropes. Do you? How do you rope a? Why would you rope if you got pins? Why would you want to rope a cow?
You asked a good question, though. I'm not even getting the throw.
Okay. So are you going to brand them or mark them? You just put them in the pen?
Put them in the pen. Now we used to catch them by hand and throw them down, hit them by hand on the ground. But now when they got a chute to put them in, flip them up.
To cut them?
Cut them up, mark them, plaster them, brand them, give them a shot.
Yeah.
All the time. They got you.
Well, let's see. What else did I want to... Who are some other people around that... One of the things we're doing up at White Springs, we want to bring some people up there in May to a big festival we're having where we're going to try to highlight traditional Florida ranching.
Mm-hmm.
And you're one person I'd like to maybe talk to sometime in the future. I can't, you know, not coming up there, you know, we need to come and things like that. I'm thinking about asking Wayne McQuaig to come up there, young man. And who are some other people?
Sam Keene out here, if you're still living, very full of old.
Sam Keene.
Yeah, he came to this country in 1904 when the snow went some land. There were a lot about in that book there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where can I buy this book, you reckon? Is it for sale in this town?
Yeah, it is right there.
Right in the middle?
Yeah.
I'll be.
These two boys are Banners. These two are Boyles. That's a Cole. These two are Preskers. And this is me.
Good Lord.
Yeah, that's just a recent picture.
Yeah.
Good Lord. That one put down another issue, but they're all sold out now. There ain't no open buy one now. They're all sold out. She's putting out another issue.
Yeah.
But it's...
Where does she live?
Oh, Hatchley Hall. Down from Haines City and on the Oaks and Lake Hatchley Hall.
Hatchley Hall.
H-A-T-S. H-A-T-C-H.
All right.
N-A-H-A. Hatch Nye. H-A-T-N-I. C-H-I-N-A. Doris Lewis. But she gets a mail here in the city now, it's on a route.
All right. I might just go see her. She might have a copy or something in her house that I could get.
She's got boxes of pictures and things in here. And,
yeah.
And let's see. There's a mother-in-law. She's 101 years old now. She got most of the information. Jill Wang was born on August 5th, 1882 in Fort Meade. She's the daughter of John Burton and Carolyn William Adams. Sweet Mary, Madison Winfield, Bob Lewis, and Marcia Tatu at Grew Park on the north of Kissimmee Road, on the mouth of Kissimmee Road. Without her, we would not have Kissimmee Island Pine Road Brewery.
Oh.
But she's blind, blind beef now, and that will go any minute.
Yeah. When you were ranching, when you first started out, when I went out to these cow camps, how long would you stay?
Just couldn't help me have to do till we finished.
Yeah.
Yeah. John was back in the old days when there was no pasture or anything. Started about the middle of April and worked right on through about two.
Yeah. How many head are there out there now, you reckon?
I'll try when I went live one on that Max's Ranch. But in 1961, it was 29,000. We inventoried them, but I don't have no idea now.
Yeah.
No, sir.
How did those camps look when you was young?
Yeah, those are where you now. Same one.
Golly.
Yes, sir. Yes,
100-year-old.
101 in 50 rows. Yeah.
Huh? She's still alive?
Yeah, I'm still alive, but she won't be my man all day. I was just 2 or 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
The woman told me she didn't have any more books. There she is.
Oh, boy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
How did the camps look?
Well, it used to be just, well, when I worked for Max in that big Cypress country, we didn't have but one shelter. Just camped out of a tent and camped, had some pens and the old hold up place.
How did they look when you, time you left Max's place?
Well, I told him I was old man, he didn't change well enough because he was out in the plane, you see.
That old time was?
That old time was, yes, sir. Yes, sir. But, there was not a lot of pasture out there, and a lot of pasture, there wasn't a lot of pasture.
Well, another thing I'm curious about is, when did those Brahma bulls and stuff come in this country?
Well, about, it became popular in the 20s. Also, from about 1910 on, they brought meat in this country. Yeah.
And what's that other kind of something? What do you
call it?
Cemetery.
That's come in since I left that ranch, and I don't, all I know is what I see in the magazines in that bottom. I couldn't get any.
Okay, but they've been crossing with the Brahmins.
Yeah, they're crossing the world. To in my opinion, Charlotte was the best cross to ever cross since the. They have the Brahma cross cloud in this country. What about the Charlotte blood? That's what made it go out. When I worked with Mr. Maxey, he was in the steel business. And we never sold a whole bunch of about 1,000 pounds to got Charlotte blood into it. And he looked that way much younger.
Yeah.
He got Charlotte into it. And the good boogles, I mean, the good boogles, I said, well,
yeah.
And good out. How easy.
Well, I've always heard the Brahmins are supposed to be pretty mean, pretty rough.
Well, I fly well a hound and then I travel the world because we're blind and what we do. And you take iron horse and help and hot blue horse was putting in a pound of water and let them clean it up.
Because they're not going
to just go to the road. Well,
when you was first working out there, where did you take them to sell?
Well, the Maxes?
Yeah.
Well, most of them went to Miami. Some of them went to Tampa. The buyer would come by. He was in the steel business. He wasn't doing selling cars. He was in the steel business. Yeah.
So they'd come out to him?
They'd come out to him. Well, we'd sell them out to him. We'd have our fattening place in Chancellor Bay. Then we got the fattening place down in Fort Brown. We'd have a fattening place. And then we bought Selby and had another fattening place.
How old were they when they sold?
Well, back when we were about to five years old, but when we got improved pasture and all, and they were cattle got younger, probably 3 years old.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
You might have an address in this book. I was thinking about that.
No, I don't know about it.
No, I don't see an address in there.
How about
What's one of the other biggest things that's changed since you started in the cattle business?
Well, the biggest thing happened with the ticks, first thing, fever ticks.
Was they bad?
Well, they won't kill them, really. And you go to a bug animal and run on fever ticks, but they won't kill them.
Why don't they hurt that farm?
They will. Help the barn or something like that.
What did you do back then to handle ticks?
It wouldn't do nothing about when after about where the ticks were. Well, I told him, we'd take a tie of well time to take fever and send it to North Carolina and blow some blood out of it and knock it over. I don't know how we put rice one time, have some good black language cattle and we run the old bull run down by here. And they took a tie of one fever ticks and sent it up there about, and that's where one bull and we
buy
it. Good. Yeah. Well, I took fever and buy the plane.
Well, I know nowadays, when I was out at Bill Green's, what they were doing, whenever they get cattle in the pen, for whatever reason, they just got spraying just all the time.
Well,
little mice.
You like to buy some dipping bowl and spray them, but spray them right quickly, and you spray a big bunch of them licks in there.
Yeah.
But those work nine flies and rice.
Horn flies.
Yeah, horn flies, yeah.
What do they do?
You just go out and suck the blood and go in and
roll
over the fly in. And you stop by a bunch of cows, before popping the tail, we were playing with our running cows and back up on the show, a little black fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever make whips or rope or anything?
No, I never did. No.
When you use a whip, do you use the whip to control the steers or to control the dogs or both?
Well, most I would. I remember when I was hiring the bulls, not the bull up and I stuck around 4 or 5 rows on the horse, and I used a good thing, most I ever used it.
So the bulls would want to be getting fighting or something?
No, they wouldn't fight, but you were just making millions out of the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long a whip did you run?
About 10 foot. Some people have them 12 or 14, but I never did.
Yeah.
And I tell you, he's turning around on the horse, the bad thing about looking lost. He's dropping the first thing in the room.
He's just disappearing.
Then he'll drop off the horse and then he couldn't find it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you about that little fellow went over one time. I traveled by about time. They said about the top of it and then all the out of the country. We couldn't know. That was down in the middle of that country, back in the mountain fences and nothing in there. He had a top that whip the whole time. Smoked slow the time.
I bet.
Yeah.
I always think what else I need to talk to you about. I'm no rancher, you know that. Western North Carolina?
It's over. The Holy Land Ranch, the Rising Fall Rock. Holy Land Ranch, the Holy Land Ranch in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Rising Fall Rock.
I see. Well, this Maxie Ranch is pretty big. What's it, 100,000+ acres?
Well, at one time it was about 163,000 acres, but they sold off a lot of it down at Fort Greene. There's the farm and the cowman and the cowman sold it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, brothers.
Yeah. Well, there's some working ranch common that'd be good to that still know how to do the old ways of doing things.
Well, it's just fine now, well.
Where is he?
You know, going out road six miles, well, it's about 5 miles.
Yeah.
About down the road, but we'll see some cars and horses on the left, about 1/2 mile down there.
All right.
That's where he keeps him. He lives in Oregon Park. But he's got a the man shows all the time, works for him, keeps his horses on, and he's on most of the day.
Yeah.
He can tell you about it. Oh, what is
it? What's his name?
Sam Logan. Sam Logan is the world.
Sam Logan.
Yeah.
All right.
Trying to keep my home going north because he's always playing around. He got a little talent right there, but he's in bad shape. I just think there's somebody behind me.
Now, one thing I got thinking about the other day was saddles. What kind of saddle is the best to work? Do you want a deep seat saddle?
Oh, that's a low seat saddle.
You mean low monster, just not very high.
Not very high on the channel, low on the channel.
Alright, now what do you call the back part of a saddle that slopes up? Has that got a name? The camel's what's up front where the horn is.
I've been the channel very soon.
I reckon.
Yeah. And I don't like the low hand too, I don't have high hand or so. That's the horse goes down, I've been about 2 years.
Now what about if you had to rope a cow, did you want to hold him fast?
Yeah, I want to rope cowboy hand saddle if I rope one.
You wouldn't want where you could play it out?
No, I wouldn't. I'd like to run under rope cowboy. Now it's saddle.
Yeah.
Then you find out get a little rope and go in the swamp or something.
Yeah. Alright. What do you call that? Do you call that? They got a name?
Well, when you hold it in the hand, you wrap around the whole hand, call that ballion.
Yeah. What do you call it when you do it?
Well, I don't even have to kill a lamb. I just don't know.
Yeah.
I told old Rafferty things about road rules and trying to rope in and all that stuff. I know we're going for carousing and working in the hard way.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense, you know. You don't want to get busted up if you can't work.
That's right, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How many horses would one camel have?
Well, he can have about two. That's when we'll ride when I went to West, you know, and we
what would happen if you only hit one?
Then you just fall down, you wouldn't have nowhere to go.
You'd just be worried.
Yeah, just find out how we need. But the back of the road, we need some hell, you know, out there. When it comes time over and out, and then around something, you're out there and down the road, you probably get through them. You need them horses hard.
What about cutting? You know, cutting a steer out from others. Do you do that with horses?
Yeah, I've done a lot of that with them. We used to do that with what we bought a lot of it.
How would you do that? Describe how that works.
Well, you know, you run a house, some of them flatten out around, some of them even around it, how long you can do it a lot of it.
But you have to use a whip?
No.
Just the horse?
No, you wouldn't get close enough to whip you. A whole lot like that, if you have somebody move up to the door, turn them up to the door or something. Help each other get this line out of the bunch and keep it out.
Yeah. How do the two work together?
Well, we just go in the bunch and get the car in the line, and the horse, if a strong enough good horse, will run out quick which one you have to, and just strong enough to roll and keep going about and keep that one out.
Right.
And then we'll do somewhere else out there who will cover out and drop.
Okay.
Well,
good
one.
Come
back. Well, that one worked a lot since we went moving still. Turned out to move with the road. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I told him that's when the cow out there up and get anything.
What do you mean?
Well, you can take one from the place in Howell Aston and go back to a 5 miles from there on, and he'll still know it, and they'll actually tell him. I've seen that try.
Well, they're smarter than the human credit.
Yes, sir. They're smarter than the human credit for it. Well, go back and look, well, I've seen that happen. Trouble had a lot of cattle and traveling in the car one time and shipped a lot of my rush. The trouble I couldn't ship them, he lost four of them work. 5 years later, Packer Bell was selling lots of cattle and they picked up all them steel and going home. If we get up that close to where we have our since 5 years ago, we wouldn't have been coming out up much. We've been working there 5 years, probably 75 miles from there. The whole road we're getting back to.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. We're off the world.
Well, what's happening to the ranching today? What's going to happen in the future?
I don't know how long it's going to happen in the future, but I told you, it's not a poor proposition now. Taxes is too high, and labor is too high, so now if you have about something else, and you put the food, you come and talk about me a little bit, and I'm going to do it about what I'm doing.
Yeah, well, God land is so high.
But that natural land now, if I have a natural land, 4 or 6 cents an acre, some of it. And half a mile and a half acre, 2 miles and a half acre. And now, I we can buy for less than 800, you know, the acres. You buy it, we'll go for sale.
Now, that Wayne McQuaig was telling me about those Mormons. What about them?
Well, they're good business people. I don't know too much about them. Before I left that ranch, I had a quarrel with some of them. They're good people, sure enough, good people.
Hmm. Yeah. Now, he said they really like to ride and rodeo and stuff a lot.
Well, I think he's wrong right there.
Uh-huh.
I think anything that, well, we'll have a little rodeo, I think, and a big barbecue or something, but as far as going for the sport, I don't think they do, because they're just not that kind of people.
Yeah.
They're business people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How big an outfit they got?
I just don't know if they got lots of territory and lots of cattle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just imagine, likes might have more cattle than they got, but I doubt it. I don't know for sure.
Now, you explained before, but I missed it. Exactly where is this Likes place?
Well, in the Southern Glades, Highlands, County down that way, and we've got some hills here in Henry County. But most of it's, I'd say most of it's in Glades County.
Alright.
From our kids to the boil and back up to down below Sebring. See that territory we're in there.
Yeah. Now, how long did you work for them?
12 years.
That's before you came up here?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I tell you, we had cattle down there, and I worked with them. And now we just took care of our cattle. And when I was school, I worked in summertime and took care of our cattle.
Yeah.
And then I went down there and went to work for them and became foreman. Rather, we went worked for them the 20th of November, 1935. I left them.
That thing. What about the Seminole? Are they good ranchers?
Well, they get along. They do all right. Of course, some white man always supervised it.
Really?
Some white man supervised it. I think a fellow named Manns down there now, and Fred Marstick was there for years, and Buck Holmes was there one time, and they always had a white man ahead of it.
Did the Seminole, did they work cattle a little different than the white men did?
Well, they were working black, but when the stars were good, right on just like right now, they just improved like everybody else had.
How did they do things different?
They don't do it different. They
do it
about the same, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I mean, you're smaller than you are, and somebody asked one of them about it one time and said what the hell did they mean? So this cow had too many cows. Well, small women get the old man's calf, you know. But that was getting the most cows was a good cowman. He knew how to handle them. He worked with white people.
Yeah. Because there must have been a lot of Seminole down there in that part of the country.
Well, I don't know how many there was. There's not too many in population. They got ranch like the Big Cypress and one down here at Brighton. The other one on the East Coast, they got a, what do you call it, a gambling place or something where you read about one night.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, what did y'all, when y'all were out at these cow camps, what did you eat?
Well, we eat beef all the time. We kill beef and eat beef all the time. And Max, no, we're almost spread you, Frank, a whole lot of extra stuff. We just eat very kind of substantial food, I'd say.
Yeah. So if y'all got, what beef would you just pick? Any beef at random, or would you pick
any? We'll pick out a fat roll or something.
Just go ahead. How long would that last a crew?
Well, we saw it and dried it, and just told how big the crew was and how big the animal was. We kill it and saw it down and hang it up and dry it and blow smoke on it to keep the flour off of it. It's dry. Then we eat that dried beef and boil it and figure out and barbecue it by the fire for dinner. We're going to kill our dinner out and stick it up by the fire and barbecue it. And
so you'd boil it before you'd barbecue it?
No, we wouldn't. Throw it out of the and barbecue it. Yeah.
Well, I'll be. Well, it's about time for you to go on your round.
No, I've got 15 more minutes. I'll make it. Yeah, I'll tell you. That girl gets out of school at 2 o'clock. Yeah, I got to go to Lake Willow.
Yeah. Trying to think of something.
Where are you going? Sleeping or what?
No, White Spring.
What is White Spring? That's your car?
No, that's a rental car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. White Spring, let's see. That's close to Gainesville, isn't it?
Yeah, north of Gainesville. It's just north of Lake City.
North of Lake City, yeah. Yes,
just about the next to the last town before you hit Georgia.
Yeah, I've been through Lake City. But
yeah.
I left the University of Florida in 1923 around the year.
Did you?
Yeah. But 1,400 students over there.
1,400 students?
Yeah.
Boy, that's nothing now.
Phil Ryan was there, he became governor over there. He told him he was going to be governor one day.
Shoot. How has the citrus business affected ranching?
Well, it's picking up a lot of ranch land, but and subdivisions took up some of it too, but there's a lot of ranch land left yet.
Yeah. Pretty wide open to get out of the country.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You going to be back around this country any time, or?
Well, I don't know. I expect I will be.
Yeah? I'm not doing anything for all right. Picking that child up from school and carrying her home, carrying her to school some morning. She lives out from Lake Willow.
Well, see, what I'm doing down here now.
Poverty used to be the worst enemy of the animal travel in this country. Poverty.
How's that?
Starved to death in the wintertime.
The cattle would?
Yeah, back in those open range, dude. If we don't have to make it, nobody fed the cattle at all anymore. And a lot of them don't feed them yet like it should be.
Hmm. Well, when did the fences come in this country?
Around about 47. I'm full of running and going. He put them off the highway.
So it was open range, you
know? Yeah, what's
so? What would you do with all the other people's cattle that got in with yours?
Well, whoever had the most, John would run a crib, he'd walk around the road by his cows and hold up a little steers for them. And they got a little out in the woods down there, and that was built up pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Back over where I was old, in the middle, my uncle ran a crib off, first for High Moon and one for Snook Skipper, and up above out the Goblins and down the low out the East Coast Cattle Company. There, and There was no cow stealing back since I can remember the mouth or nothing.
Hmm.
Not bad. Down in that Henry County, good book went on by another, about in the 18s, around about 1918 or around there.
Yeah.
But they killed them for markets. They didn't drive them off somewhere and sell them.
Yeah.
But they used to go back before I come along, have that out in this country, I understand.
Huh. Well, where were you raised?
Right down on the Oxygen River, down on the Oxygen River down here. Nickel Bluff and raised in Osceola and Okeechobee counties. That's just across the river.
Yeah. So So you've been in this country 3 years.
Person. I got a history in there that I didn't know it. A couple of them in there. I'll tell you. Sam King and Buck Nine. Sam King and Buck Nine put that rile up in there.
How do you pronounce that word? Michael Bluff?
Mickle. And that's what I think of him, Mickle.
All right. I've got to get that book. Kissimmee Island.
Yeah. You wild west around and she, it comes out, I'll get a hold of you.
I'll get a hold of her pretty quick, I think. If I can get, if she's in the, let's see, I wrote down her address, didn't I? What was the name of where she lived?
Hatchley Hall.
Hatchley Hall.
Yeah, Hatchley Hall. I'll tell you, you get a wild west around and I'll get a wild west and north for you.
City or something.
How long are we going this time?
I got to go back tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I know.
I got to go down to Avon Park this afternoon.
That one?
I've got to have my...
Yeah, okay. This is your name, right?
Yeah.
And this is what I was going to get you.
Right.
Let's see. I know a telephone number. I believe. 439. 4351. That's Ann City.
Alright.
But you have to, well, I guess I do, that's how, but I'm going to do those objects and need it to you.
Alright.
Well,
alright.
She's a very sensible woman.
Well, she sounds like she's done a good job in that book.
She's got several pictures of
Oh, yeah?
Well, have a trial with one of them. Now, most of these pictures are way back 10th century and the same before.
Yeah.
That's what most of them. Well, I've seen people I know and lived with some of them. Well, the world sheriff of Gold Cameron buried him the 20th last month.
I'll be done.
41 years old. That's his sister and all that. And that's his wife.
41.
Yeah. Good man, too, but he died with cancer. And by the time he went in the office 3 years ago, his little brother died with cancer. 9 years old.
That's tough.
He's a good man. And he was by his brother, so I both knew he was by his brother.
Yeah.
I know a whole generation of them. I just, those are all the
ways.
Yeah. And I wrote the books about them now. I'll find her just a minute for a minute. There she is, and I wrote the book. That's her. There she is again. There she is again. There's her and her husband. Well, she don't look this good now. She broke some.
Did you break your own horses?
I didn't, but... No, we used to buy most of them, but... That Max Rice really most of them, but they got somebody to break them.
Somebody come in and do it special?
Well, when they broke that Selby case, they raised them all around, and here all over I broke them. They had somebody, I think he knew out yet.
So...
Get somebody to come in and break them,
yeah. That was somebody's special job.
Oh, it's a little wild horse or something else than to make a wild horse. So I thought before I get in the wild, I'd get in something else.
Yeah.
I was on the radio.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
It'd be a tough job for somebody, wouldn't
it? Yes, sir. If you come back by us for a night, contact me, I'll be right over.
All right. Well, I know your phone number. I know your address.
Well,
and Silver Lake, isn't that where it is?
Well, box 405. You got the box on them?
Let me make sure I got it.
Yes, sir.
I'll write it right here.
Douglas Thompson. Douglas Thompson.
All right.
Box 405.
All right.
Crossroads, Florida. 33843.
Okay.
Yes. 635-3274. And then a lot of time I wouldn't be busy, but right now I wouldn't.
Sure.
Yes.
Well, I for sure want to come back down.
Well,
when I know more and when I can talk a little more specifically about
anything pertains to this will come back to us, and I like you. I just like you.
Well, appreciate it.
Yes.
I'm interested in the way you learn to do things.
Yeah.
That's one thing, you know. How you learn to cut out cattle, how you learn to do all these things. And that's something, you know, I need to be around a little bit more.
Yeah,
right. See it and watch it.
Little old man come by the house and stopped old man with a bus, and he told his grandmother up in another wild when I was telling you a little grandmother, so I know we had a cowboy for a while.
Yes, you did.
My wife, a little wild woman.
Yeah.
Yes. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Well, you wouldn't have done it that long.
That's right. Yes.
Well, let me get out of here, then. You probably need to get gone.
Well, that's what I picked up for.
I want to say today is December the 8th, 1983.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been talking to Douglas Thompson down here, sitting in the car right across from the Maxi Foundation Incorporated.
Yeah.
And it's about little afternoon, about lunchtime, about 1.
Yeah.
Let's go get some beans.
How about those?